Imam was about to strike him, he pulled his trousers down. Why? Because he knows Ali ibn Abi Talib will never strike a human who angers him. He only strikes someone who angers Allah. Imam Ali would turn his face away, and that's why our brothers in the Muslim world, when they mention Imam Ali, they do not say رضي الله عنه. They say كرم الله وجهه. كرم الله وجهه. One opinion is his eyes never saw or worshipped idols. Another opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored those eyes on that day of Saffin, that he never had to see what Amr ibn al-As did. And that's the irony in this world, wallah. You go into Muslim bookshops today, Ali ibn Abi Talib, the great companion, next book next to him, Amr ibn al-As, the great companion. Where's your scales? Both of them are great companions, as in the one who's fighting and the one who's... What can you? You can't talk, honestly. So you talk, people will start saying, so let's keep this diplomatic. So what happened was, Muslim ibn Aqil, he was in Safin, he was in Jamal. Alongside that, he had another attribute. He was trustworthy with the taxes. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen had employed him to collect zakat from the people. Never a penny would get lost. Everything written. Zakat, the amount collected, written. Collected on this date, at this time. Spread here, given here. In other words, he had that combination of bravery and trustworthiness. And at the same time, he wanted to build a family. So he ended up marrying whom? He married the sister of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn had a sister by the name of Ruqayya. Muslim ibn Aqil married Ruqayya. From her, he had a number of children. He had a number of sons. He had Abdullah. He had Abdul Rahman as his sons. He had a couple of young sons by the name of Muhammad and Ibrahim. These two young boys, when you mention their name, honestly, the pain hurts when you remember their story. He had these four sons and he had a daughter he used to love. Imam al-Husayn used to love Sukaina. And Muslim al-Aqil used to love Hamida. And both of them were virtually in the same age range. And you found that, what was it? Hamida, of course, her uncle is Imam al-Husayn, because her mom Ruqayya's brother. You found Muslim ibn Aqil built that family. He remained close to Imam al-Husayn. And that's why Imam al-Husayn, when he had all of these personalities with him, he was confident that he could achieve victory in Kufa. You see, sometimes people ask the question, Muslim ibn Imam al-Husayn, was he going towards death? As in, is he certain he's going to die? Imam al-Husayn, 20 days, I would say, 25 days before Karbala, is in a stronger position than Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Why? Firstly, he's received 12,000 letters from the people of Kufa, saying to him that Nu'man ibn Bashir in Kufa, we do not even pray Salatul Jama'ah behind him. We want you, Hussein, to come to us. Secondly, all of his father's old soldiers are alive. He knows it. Yazid knows it. Imam knows. Han ibn Urwa is alive. My father's ex-commander. Muslim al-Awsaja alive. Muslim ibn Aqil alive. Habib ibn Madahir alive. Maytham al-Tammar alive. Mukhtar al-Thaqafi alive. If I go to Kufa and I've got my dad's old soldiers still alive, I'll finish Yazid's army. He's confident. I would say 25 days before Karbala, Yazid thinks he's losing. Yazid's in trouble. Because Yazid knows all Ali's old soldiers are alive. They've had battles. Their CV is Jamal, Safin, Nahrawan, training Ali ibn Abi Talib. So those who say Imam al-Husayn was going towards a suicide mission, Imam al-Husayn is confident. He's got 12,000 people who've written letters to him saying, we're with you. And he's got Hani and Muslim and Habib. He has the warriors of warriors. He's not worried about anything happening at all. Yazid's in trouble. So Yazid's sitting in his palace and he looks towards the people around him and he's like, Hussein's got these people in Kufa and my governor in Kufa is An-Na'man ibn Bashir. An-Na'man ibn Bashir is Mukhtar's father-in-law. What do I do? I'm in trouble. Who's next to him? A Christian ambassador by the name of Sarjan. Sarjan is next to him. When Sarjan is next to him, Sarjan looks at him and he says to him, "Do you want any help or no?" He said, "Yes, I need your help." He said to him, "What do you want?" He said, "I'm in trouble in Kufa. Hussein's strong. So what do you think I should do?" He said, "Do you want my advice?" He said, "Yes." He said, "There's only one man alive who could control Hussein and fight him with confidence and be ruthless when he makes decisions. And if your dad was alive, Yazid's dad, he would have put him into Kufa now." He said, "Who?" He said, "Ibn Ziyad." He said, "No way." He said, "What?" He said, "No way. I'm not putting him. I hate him. I can't stand him." They hated each other. Both in their 30s. Both are known for their good looks, for their pomp. They are living in the most luxurious world. They hate each other. Yazid says, "I'm not having him. He'll get all the plaudits." Sarjan says, "You want to defeat Hussein?" He said, "Yes." He said, "That's the only man who's ruthless enough to finish him. And he's like his father Ziyad. They are willing to use the sword and massacre." He said, "Very well, write to him. Tell him I'll make him governor of Basra and Kufa." Ibn Ziyad was chilling in Basra, literally. He used to sit back in Basra, he used to enjoy himself. No one used to bother him. He's the governor of a big city. Letter comes to him, "Go and capture Kufa." Ibn Ziyad makes a condition: "If I capture Kufa, I become governor of Kufa and Basra." He said, "Yes." "Very good. So you're given to me? You, Caliph in Sham, given to my power?" He said, "Yes, just give me power back." He said, "That's it. That's all I needed to hear." Two egos fighting each other. Ibn Ziyad's now gone to Kufa. Muslim ibn Aqil's gone to Kufa. Muslim ibn Aqil, when he gets to Kufa, everyone's telling him, "Yes, tell Imam al-Hussein we are ready. We're ready to be alongside you. We've written letters to Imam al-Hussein." Muslim ibn Aqil, the first thing he does, he stays at the house of Mukhtar, because Mukhtar's father-in-law is the governor, the most strategic place to stay. Who used to come and visit Muslim al-Aqil regularly? Hani ibn Arwa. Hani ibn Arwa used to come and see him. And Hani ibn Arwa had about 12,000 people. If he just flicks his fingers like this, Hani ibn Arwa has 12,000 ready to fight with him. And who used to come? Muslim ibn Awsaja. These weren't just soldiers, my dear brothers and sisters. These were great memorizers of Quran. It's one thing going on jihad to fight, but there's no point fighting when you can't read 3 verses of Quran a day in your life. You find that these people would come. Muslim was getting all the support. Muslim sees it's a good position. Ibn Ziyad enters. When Ibn Ziyad enters Kufa, he's dressed like Imam al-Hussein. Those who don't know Ibn Ziyad have never seen him in their life. "Welcome, O grandson of Rasulullah." He's covered himself. Can't see him. He gets to one of his friends by the name of Ma'qil, and he says to him, "Where's Hussein, son of Ali? Where's he?" He said, "He's still not arrived." "Where's Muslim ibn Aqil?" He goes, "Muslim ibn Aqil is with Hani ibn Arwa, Mukhtar al-Thaqafi, Maytham al-Tammar. All of them are together. They're all planning something. You're going to have to get to the bottom of this." He said, "Very well. Do you have any idea where he is now?" They said, "If he's not in Mukhtar's house, he's at Hani's house. If he's not at Hani's house, then he's at Shariq's house, or Shuraik, some call him." When Muslim found out that Ibn Ziyad had come, Shuraik, in whose house he was in, said to him, "Listen, Muslim, Ibn Ziyad knows me well. He's definitely going to come home. You want to finish this whole thing off?" Muslim said, "How?" He said, "Ibn Ziyad, when he enters my house, you hide there. I'm going to be sitting talking to Ibn Ziyad. The moment I take off my turban and put it on the ground, you kill Ibn Ziyad. You ready?" He said, "I'm ready." Ibn Ziyad comes home. Shuraik is sitting down. "How are you, Shuraik?" He said, "I'm very well, thank you." "What's been happening in Kufa these days?" He said, "Oh, not much." He's like, what do you mean? Not much. I see people moving and it seems there's a plan. He's like, so no, there's nothing much really happening. He takes off the turban. Nothing happens. He puts it back on. Shuraik, what's wrong with you? He said, nothing. He said, why you take off your turban? He said, there's nothing there. Takes it off again. Nothing. Takes it off a third time. Nothing. He's waiting. Where are you? Come and kill him. This whole issue would be over. Then he started to even recite lines of poetry. If I have to drink the drink where my death lies, then let me drink the drink. No, nothing. Ibn Ziyad said, you seem to be hallucinating from your illness, Shuraik, and old age. I'm going to leave now, and I will see you soon. Ibn Ziyad left. Shuraik turned around. Where are you? Why did you not kill him? Do you know what you're going to cause now? He's sitting in front of you. I laid him on a plate for you, and you could have come and stabbed him from behind. Muslim bin Aqil replied with the lines which remain with us in our hearts and principles for us until today. What did he say? He said these beautiful lines. Faith ends when murder begins. A man like me has not been taught to stab a man from behind.
What a line.
What a line. To stick to your principles at that moment is not easy. I have been brought up in a house. If we fight someone, we fight them face to face. We don't stab them in the back. Ibn Ziyad could not see me. I would have killed him like a coward. Not just like a coward, but treacherously. And I don't come from a house of treachery. What a line. How many of us at that moment would have kept that principle? I do not stab men in the back. I'm brought up in the house and the school of Ali. Ali ibn Abi Talib never kills a man from behind. You fight him one on one, he fights you. He never comes and hits you from the back. Muslim at that moment embodied Ali ibn Abi Talib. And you know what? In that moment, Muslim knew, if I get killed in any of the next few hours or few days, I die free. Because I never let my principles swerve. Even if Ibn Ziyad beheads me from the highest palace in Kufa, I did not lose my principles. He did. Then he said, and I did not kill him because before I entered the house, Hani bin Arwa's wife said, don't let any death happen in our house. One narration says, Shuraik said, his wife said that don't let any death. Muslim said, I will abide by your command. I will not kill anyone in your house. Out of respect for your house. From that moment onwards, Ibn Ziyad asked his servant Ma'qil, go to someone like Muslim ibn Awsajah. And ask Muslim ibn Awsajah that I'm a Shia, I want to find Muslim ibn Aqil and give him some money to support Imam al-Hussein's campaign. Ma'qal disguised himself as a Shia. Muslim ibn Awsajah didn't know that this is the spy of Ibn Ziyad. He took him to Muslim ibn Aqil. When he took him, Ma'qal gave him some money. He said, I'm a firm supporter of yours. Then he went back to Ibn Ziyad. He said, Ibn Ziyad, these are the main supporters. What did Ibn Ziyad do? This is a vital line in historical analysis. Because for too many years I hear people saying, don't be like the Shia of Kufa. The worst Shia, the Shia of Kufa. You hear this in our community sometimes, don't you? Don't be like the Kufans. And I get surprised sometimes when I hear people who are meant to be knowledgeable saying, do not be like the Shia of Kufa. These are treacherous people. Habib ibn Madahir is treacherous. Muslim ibn Awsaj is treacherous. Hani ibn Arwa is treacherous. Mukhtar is treacherous. Maytham is treacherous. Aren't these all Kufans? Don't generalize a whole city. You had Ibn Ziyad do the following. First, with those who had written letters to the Imam, 10,000 of them were executed in Kanasa Square in Kufa. Bloodbath. Get them out of their houses. Put them in Kanasa Square. Behead, 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 behead. The second group of them were imprisoned, like Maytham and Mukhtar. Then there was a small last group, who were paid off. But they were nothing compared to the big group who were killed or were imprisoned. When someone comes and says the Shia of Kufa let Imam al-Hussein down, that's an insult to many great Kufans who lost their lives for Imam al-Hussein in Kufa. Yes, one or two people. But that person who comes and tells me, don't be like the Shia of Kufa. Hey, my brother, Ali ibn Abi Talib is the man who made Kufa his capital. Are you trying to insult Ali ibn Abi Talib's decision? Amir al-Mu'mineen moved the capital from Medina to Kufa. You got a problem with Imam Ali's decision about where to put his capital? Imam Ali must have known there are good people in that capital. Hasn't he? He knows there are good and there are bad. Ibn Ziyad, therefore, what did he do? He caught Mukhtar, he caught Maytham. Hani was executed. Who escaped? Habib escaped. Muslim bin Awsaja escaped. A couple of others escaped. They managed to reach Imam al-Hussein. Muslim ibn Aqil was now in a difficult situation. Because having had 12,000 supporters, now he knows there is no more support from those people who he wants alongside him. And you know what was hurting him more? Now he knows that Imam al-Hussein is coming to people who will not be there for him. He enters Masjid al-Kufa. And you know when he enters Masjid al-Kufa, he leads Salah. Do you know how many people are behind him? 30. How many? 30. By the end of the Salah, 3. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength with the Imam of our time if we're in this predicament. Because it's all well and good looking back at history and saying, you know what, those Kufans who let him down, they didn't have any principles. We have principles? We have principles? I tell you, there are people in our communities. The more generous you are to them, the more you should beware of their evil. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says, what? He says, beware of the evil of the one you've been generous to. Subhanallah. Beware of the evil of the one you were generous to. The more generous you are to someone, beware of their evil. They'll come back to haunt you. That's Shia. 30 he's leading, then 3 are left. He's leaving the mosque, 1 is left. He leaves the mosque, none. And now he walks in the streets of the city which his uncle had ruled 20 years earlier. He walks like a stranger in the city. And now his two young sons who are with him aren't there, Muhammad and Ibrahim. One was 11, the other was 9. Until eventually these two young boys are massacred. They are caught. When the man wants to behead them, one of them says, do you mind if I pray my Fajr prayers before you behead me? 11 years old. And the other one who's 9, he cries to the one who's 11. He said, please, I'm so scared. And the one who's 11 says, do not worry. In a moment, we'll return to our father, Muslim bin Aqil. And now Muslim bin Aqil is where? He's walking in the streets of Kufa as a stranger. And you know when he's walking in the streets of Kufa as a stranger, all he wants is just some water. That's it. He doesn't know who to turn to. Those of you who've been to the grave of Muslim ibn Aqil in Kufa, remind yourself of that grave. And those who haven't, visit his grave, honor this man. Imam al-Hussein, what did he say about him? قَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَخِي. Please listen to these lines. I have sent to you, قَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَخِي. I have sent to you my brother. Muslim ibn Aqil is your cousin, Abu Abdullah. Muslim ibn Aqil is your cousin. He said, I have sent to you my brother and my cousin. Do you know when Abu Abdullah calls someone his brother? That means he's not my cousin. I see him like my brother. That's how close I am to him. أخي وابن عمي وثقتي من أهل بيتي. I have sent to you my brother, my cousin, and the one I trust the most from Ahlul Bayt. Ya Aba Abdullah, you have Abbas, you have Akbar, you have Qasim. The thiqa, the most trustworthy, is him. None will complete a mission like him. Even though he could have stabbed Ibn Ziyad in the back, he is not treacherous. Even when he dies, I'm proud to say, that's my brother you killed. He's walking in the streets. He sits by a house. When he sits by that house, a lady comes out. She says, excuse me, what are you doing here? He said to her, just a glass of water, if you don't mind. Just a cup of water, I'm thirsty. She returns back. Her daughter had come out. She was looking at him sitting on the ground like this. And then the daughter came back into the house. The mom saw the daughter crying. The mom looked towards Muslim. She said to him, man, what did you say to my daughter to make her cry? He said, I promise you, I never said anything. The daughter looked at her mom. She said, mom, he never said anything except one line, and it's made me cry. The mom said, what's the line? He said, I am a stranger, and I have no one here for me. The mother began to cry. The mother looked at him. She said, who are you? He said, I am Muslim. She said, which Muslim? He said, son of Aqil. Which Aqil? Aqil, son of Abu Talib. She said to him, so you are the nephew of my Mawla? He said to her, yes, I'm the nephew of Ali. She said, that is my master, Ali ibn Abi Talib. This Muslim is a Sahabi of Rasulullah, my dear brothers and sisters. He was 8 when Rasulullah died. We don't just cry for him because he's the brother of Imam Hussein. He's a companion of the Prophet. She said to him, stay in my house for a short while, but I am scared that they will inform Ibn Ziyad, for they are looking for you. Muslim said, do not worry. She narrates that whole night he was in his sujood. He was reciting the Quran. I could hear him upstairs. I was just worried that they would inform. Eventually, a member of her family went and told Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad, what did he do? Ibn Ziyad, he sent soldiers to go and capture Muslim ibn Aqil. But this isn't just a normal person. This is not a person who's from the greengrocers of Kufa. He was a man who was a brave warrior. Ibn Ziyad sent a number of soldiers. You know what Muhammad ibn al-Ash'ath said? Muhammad ibn al-Ash'ath wrote back to Ibn Ziyad. He said, send me more. Ibn Ziyad said, what do you mean send you more? I've already sent you 300. He said to him, you have not sent me to a greengrocer of Kufa. You've sent me to the nephew of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Send me more soldiers. This time the soldiers were many more. This time they surrounded him. And you know where his heart is, where his mind is? Aba Abdullah. That's where his heart is. That's where all our hearts are on a night like this, next to Aba Abdullah in Karbala. His heart was near Aba Abdullah. He knew that this is the most difficult time. Even when Ibn Ziyad said to him, why do you cry? He said, I don't cry for myself. I cry for Hussein and his family. When they surrounded him, one of them from behind threw a rock on the back of his head. He fell on the ground. Another one came with a bar and hit him. Another one came with his sword and struck him. You know, normally if you were to carry someone who you've captured, you'd allow them to walk. They dragged him across the streets of Kufa. They dragged his body, then they brought him to the palace of Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad said to him, why have you come here to cause disunity? He said, I haven't. The people said that you are the man who's causing disunity. You and your father have acted like Caesars and Kisras. One of the men said to him, when you address Ibn Ziyad, say your emir. He said, he's not my
Amir, Amir Husaynun. My Amir is Hussein. I do not have any other Amir. He said, my Amir is Hussein. At this moment, something very interesting happens at this moment.
The narrations, what do they say to us? They say that Ibn Ziyad looked towards him, and when he looked towards him, Ibn Ziyad said to him, do you have any final wishes before we kill you? The narrations mention that he said, of my final wishes, number one. Listen to his final wishes. He said, my final wish, my first of my final wishes in my will is there is an amount of debt that I owe somebody. Brothers and sisters, this is an important line. There's an amount of debt I owe someone, a loan, a debt. Please sell my saddle and my sword and pay the debt back. Imam al-Hussein on the night of the 10th of Muharram told his companions, if any of you have a debt, then go and pay your debt. You are not one of my soldiers. Because a follower of Imam al-Hussein does not have a debt outstanding which they haven't paid. That was number one. Number two, he said to Ibn Ziyad, he said, oh, Ibn Ziyad, my second request from you is what? My second request is to give me an Islamic burial. I don't want my body to be dragged in the streets of Kufa. Give me an Islamic burial, shroud my body. Then number three, please tell Hussein not to come. Ya Aba Abdullah. Tell Aba Abdullah. His whole mind is with Aba Abdullah. He doesn't care about himself anymore. His life is Hussein. Ibn Ziyad said to Umar bin Sa'ad, he said, Umar bin Sa'ad, as for his first wish, pay it off. Umar bin Sa'ad said, no. Ibn Ziyad said, have respect for yourself. If the man has a debt, pay off his debt. He said to him, as for your second wish, we will not give you an Islamic burial. We will give you the worst of burials. As for the third wish, Hussein, if he wants to come here, we'll cause him trouble. If he doesn't want to, we'll leave the man alone. He said to his soldiers, get him now, bring him. They said to him, where? He said, bring Muslim to the top of the castle. And they took Muslim bin Aqil to the top of the castle. Brothers and sisters, may Allah give you patience. Ya Imam Sahib al-Zaman, may Allah give you patience with what I'm about to narrate. The narrations mention that they brought Muslim bin Aqil to the top of the castle. And just before they were about to strike him, he called out, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. At this moment, the man came towards him and he struck Muslim ibn Aqil and he beheaded him from the top of the castle. The news reached Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But do you know why it became difficult for Imam al-Hussein? Because you now have to inform a young girl that her father has died. Like we said to you, it's difficult for Hamida. She loved her father. She's expecting on her way to Karbala, on her way to Kufa, she's going to see her father. Imam al-Hussein, he turned around towards Sayyida Zainab and he said to her, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayyida Zainab replied to him, oh Aba Abdullah, what is it? He said, Muslim ibn Aqil has died. She said to him, Aba Abdullah, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He then looked towards her and he said to her, bring me Hamida, my niece, the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil. Do you know how difficult it is to tell a young girl, to tell her that her father has died? Hamida came towards Imam al-Hussein. The first thing Imam al-Hussein did when he saw her, he patted her on her head. She looked towards Imam al-Hussein and she said to him, Aba Abdullah, have I become an orphan today? He looked towards her, he said to her, oh Hamida, why do you ask? She said, because normally when you pat the head of a child, it means that they've become an orphan at that moment. Ya Aba Abdullah. He looked towards her. What did he say? He said to her, oh Hamida, my daughters are like your sisters and my sons are like your brothers. Oh Hamida, I've just heard the news about your father's death in Kufa. As soon as he announced this, she began to cry. But there were some girls who came towards her. One of them was Ruqayya. Ruqayya was only young. When she came towards her, she saw Hamida crying. Ruqayya is very young, but she hugged Hamida. I say to Ruqayya, in Sham, when you saw your father's head, who was there to come and hug you?
MashaAllah. Then who came? Sukaina. Sukaina came, said to Hamida, do not worry. Now that you've become an orphan, I will be the one who looks after you. I say, Sukaina, who was there to look after you when Imam al-Hussein's horse returned without the Imam? Then who came to console her? Sayyida Zainab came. I say, Zainab, who was there to console you when they attacked your hijab? One by one they came to console the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil. I'll leave you with this final narration. When these daughters of Imam al-Hussein, when all of them were prisoners in Kufa, Tawa, the lady who had seen Muslim ibn Aqil, she saw all these daughters walking in the streets of Kufa. She came towards them. She asked, where is Hamida, the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil? And they said to her, why? She said, I have a message from our father before he died. When she came towards Hamida, she said to her, oh, Hamida, I have a message from your father before he died. But before she could say anything, the poets say that Hamida looked at her and she said, oh, Tawa, before my father fell on the ground, did anyone carry his body before it touched the earth of Kufa? Did anyone bury his body? Did anyone bury his body? Did anyone protect my father's body? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with the intercession of Muslim ibn Aqil. May Allah bless all of your tears. May Allah allow you to perform the ziyarah of Muslim ibn Aqil in Kufa. Ya Allah, allow us to honor Safir al-Hussein. Allow us to honor the man who was called the trustworthy one of Al Muhammad. Allow us to be amongst those who rise with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib Al Asri Wa Zaman. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al Fatiha tomorrow. As we all know, the majlis will start at the earlier time, brothers and sisters, of Salat Al Maghrib. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.